1000.
The home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, Michael Wilbon joins us each and every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. He's absolutely awesome. He's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
That's
at
right. HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Michael, how's everything going, first of all?
Good. It's good. I'm back out in the desert. The mid-Atlantic has, cicadas.
Oh, yeah.
Better known, as far as I'm concerned, as locusts.
Yeah, would you eat one of those?
Hell no. Eat them. I don't even want to see them.
What about if one of your famous chef cooked it up?
To get away from. No. As a matter of fact, that chef would be off my list to go anywhere near where he or she is flying a trade. I mean, these things are have you guys seen cicada in person?
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati, where they were, beyond a thing. I don't know why Cincinnati is, a breeding ground for the vast majority of them, but it's unbelievable. Oh. Sometimes, Mike, they got so thick, you couldn't see your driveway.
You had to shovel them?
Yes. They'd cover your entire shell or your entire driveway.
Tommy, I've heard that, and I was like, come on.
Oh, it's awful.
And now
you're
about the third person from Cincy that I've heard say that.
I mean, there'd be a rise in auto accidents. I mean, there'd be all kinds of crazy stuff that went on because of it. Awful.
Nastiest looking thing you've ever seen. And so I would rather be out here where it's going to be 116 on Tuesday than to be around any of those. They fly into your windshield like a bird at 100 miles an hour. It's just awful. So I left. I fled. I fled the nation's capital.
Here's a question I've always had about Arizona. Then I got a fan question for you. How often do you see a snake or a scorpion in Arizona?
I've seen 3 snakes in 16 years.
That's it?
That's it. One on a golf course. One, in the neighborhood. And then one at my house that was... I'm told, and I don't even know, people can laugh at this. Don't laugh too much because I'm not accepting of it. It seemed to be a pregnant snake. Do snakes, are they capable of that condition? And it tried to crawl through my fence, but we've got that snake fencing. It got caught, and we just called animal control, and they came and got it. It was some curiosity. So that was the last one. That's 8 years ago.
Mike, maybe the snake wasn't pregnant. Maybe the snake had eaten something and it swelled in its belly.
I'll accept that too. But it had a big belly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wasn't trying to get too close to figure it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too close to it.
But 3 snakes in 16 years. The only scorpions I've seen are dead. I've only seen dead scorpions. I've told people who come out, extermination people, including one guy I used to call the Poison King. I want this place poisoned to the max, baby. Poison me up. I'm a city kid. I don't want to see any of this stuff. I have no, at the time, no children, no pets.
Kill it all!
Lay it down. Lay the poison down.
No children, no pets, so poison it up. All right, speaking of kids, you go to a ton of games with Matthew, and he's getting older now. You took him to games when he was young. You, like me, what I love about you, Michael, is that you're still a sports geek to the core, wearing a jersey. You love going to these games. You love the atmosphere. So I had a debate with Carmen DeFalco, who took his kids to the Sox game last night, and it was 1-0, and they figured it was time to go. But they left after taking me out to the ball game. And I said, well, why didn't you see the White Sox bat in the bottom half of the seventh? You don't leave until your team bats, and then you leave after that. I'm fine with guys leaving early. I just thought it was a bad strategy. Do you agree with me, or do you think that when it's time to go, it's just time to go?
Well, I mean, it depends on how old the kids or kid is, are. I mean, it depends on whether it's a school night. I told you, embarrassingly, like 3 years ago, the Cubs were down 4-0 in the game at Wrigley on a school night, although Matthew's not at school in Chicago. But, and he just said, Dad, we can hit a grand slam. It was during one of those first summers after the World Series and the Cubs couldn't hit 200. And I just said, Matty, four runs, they can't score a run. They can't score a run this week. And you want to stay the eighth and ninth when it's already, whatever it was, 11 o'clock? And he just said, come on, let's stay to hit a grand slam. We leave. We walk to my mother's place. We get in the car right off Belmont, and we hear the cheers from Wrigley.
That's terrible.
And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to go well. And they hit a grand slam. I don't remember who hit the grand slam that night. Grand slam tie, win the game in the whatever 10th.
Yeah, and then you went to the game the next night. It's fine. I mean,
no, that scars kids right there.
It doesn't scar anyone. Like, you need to talk to somebody if you're still scarred from being taken home from a game a couple innings
when
before the
seven.
Finish. I don't accept that from you. I know your mom. She's a great woman.
I'm not saying she's not. She would leave prematurely
because she didn't want to be in traffic.
Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't do it when the funny thing is, my father, I don't remember ever leaving a game that wasn't like, 12-2. I don't remember any game that was fairly tight, 1-0. I don't remember doing that, but I've done it as an adult to get my kid out of there. And it didn't turn out well.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some hoops. We were asking our listeners and we were thinking aloud. One, how likely is it that Damian Lillard gets traded, and can the Bulls make a play?
But no, I wouldn't trade him. I've been saying all along, I wouldn't. No, why would you trade Damian Lillard?
What if
he's a great player?
What if he asks out, like all the other guys do?
Build a team around him. I don't understand this about sports in general. Let's trade with the Cubs. We don't think we're going to be very good. Let's trade you, Darvish. How's that working out right
now? Not good.
I mean, it's just
they could use a starting pitcher at the top of their rotation.
It's just so dumb. It's so dumb. I mean, it's funny that all these people think that, they're the smartest people in the world. And they think that everybody else is stupid. And everybody else isn't stupid. Nobody wants to say this to them. Like in the old days at a press conference, somebody like Will McDonough would say, you did the dumbest thing in the world. And now you think you're going to be fired if your bosses hear that on tape. And people do dumb stuff, and they don't get called out for it because they want to get high and mighty and say, well, you people are just sports writers, or you people are just the media, or you people are just fans, or you people are just a professor at a university. And you're a guy who made an idiotic mistake. Or a group of you, a panel of people, a room full of people who were morons. And, trading Damian Lillard is going to do what? Where are you going to get a guy in return in a deal who's as good as Damian Lillard?
If we play the hypothetical, Mike, just in general terms, I think he just finished his ninth year, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to be 31 when the next season begins. At what point do you start worrying about an NBA player's age, or is it just individual?
I mean, it's individual. You can worry about it. Doesn't mean you trade them. You can worry about a lot of stuff. I mean, if you're so worried about it, then get him some damn players to go with him before he gets to be 32.
Right.
Do your job. Get other players. We've seen it. We've seen other teams do this. People do this. One of the things I love about Daryl Morey, it didn't work to the tune of wearing a ring. But every year, there was no rebuilding. He had a great player in Harden. He tried to put somebody around him. Get Chris Paul. Get this person. They finally, after four or five attempts, and by the way, it wasn't them dealing him on their own. It was it was Harden saying, I want out, which is a different thing. Damian Lillard hasn't said that.
Right. That's,
I, you know.
And that's what I'm asking, Michael, like that, because I was just listing the names off the top of my head, whether it was Kawhi forcing his way out of San Antonio, AD in New Orleans, yeah. Harden in Houston, Jimmy Butler out of Minnesota. Now what happens in the NBA is when the player demands the trade, they get that granted. So what if we advance down the road and Dame doesn't get the coach he wants and he wants out? Can the Bulls make a play?
Okay, tell me what the play is, and how, are you going to be better? That, remember, we're not talking about better than this whole season that just ended. We're talking about better with two all-stars coming to camp, playing together with an improving now third-year player in Coby White and some interesting pieces. Like, so the Bulls look like they could, with relative health, be a seventh or eighth team in the East next year. So do you know that you're going to get a team around Dame Lillard that's going to be at least that good?
I don't think you can guarantee that for sure.
No, you can't. And even the cases like, okay, so Anthony Davis is going to play with LeBron. Lillard wouldn't be coming to play with a LeBron in Chicago.
He would be the LeBron.
And he's not LeBron. I love him. He's one of my five favorite players in the league. He is. But it doesn't mean he's coming to play with LeBron. So what, again, you know, this is like the trade game we play in my house almost every night.
Yeah.
Would you?
You know, and it's like, well, okay, you're going to give that guy up. Who are you going to get? When is the last time the Bulls had a second team All-NBA player? Did Jimmy make that in Chicago?
Probably. If not Derek, then.
Okay, and by the way, when is the last time? Since when have the Bulls had a player as good as Derrick Rose? Since he left. Tell me. Derrick Rose is still better than anybody we've had except Jimmy Butler.
Peak Derrick Rose was even better.
He's been gone.
Yeah.
So the notion that there's just these great players laying around in a lounge waiting for you to claim them, I mean, this is really not, this is not happening.
Mike, you mentioned LeBron. I know the league's in good hands with Devin Booker and some of the other great players, Trae Young, and I know, and Donovan Mitchell.
Luka Doncic.
With that in mind, does the NBA still miss LeBron in the postseason?
I don't know. Let's check 2 years ago. We didn't have him. Didn't have him 2 years ago. He was out.
But you had the Warriors who were great. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You had the Warriors in Toronto. You had a great story in Toronto. I didn't miss him. And I'm far from a LeBron hater. He's the most important player in the sport since Michael retired. But, I mean, you know.
You move on.
I miss him. I'm the wrong person to ask because I cover basketball.
Right. I asked the question kind of in the context of when you're looking at the peripheral fans, not the diehards, not people that have been there forever, but just in general, is it simple question, is it better to have LeBron in the postseason than not have him in the postseason? Whether you love him, you hate him, he's wearing the white hat, he's wearing the black hat, he's playing the hero, he's playing the villain. Is the league better when he's in the postseason for as long as possible?
Of course. Was it better to have, you know, Tiger Woods in? Yes.
Of course, yeah.
It's always better to have greatness. Is it better to have Mike Tyson's and, you know, after he was gone, of course. But I tell you what, the league better prepare differently for this than the departure of Michael Jordan, which took years. The hangover from no Jordan was embarrassingly long, and the league did not handle that well. Right now, you got so many star players. I think the league is in better shape, but they better start marketing some of these people. They better put Ja Morant on the damn TV on a Thursday or a Friday night or
Trae
Sunday.
Young.
Trae Young, they better put him on. Ja Morant's in a small market. So what? Dude is great. Right? Put Memphis on. They scrap. They're worth watching. Let people know who Jamal Murray is before he rips his knee up. So there's plenty of terrific players in the league right now. The NBA better do a better job of showcasing them than it did the terrific players who were around in the aftermath, immediate aftermath of Michael Jordan.
Michael, hang in there. When we come back, I want to ask you where you were. Today is a where you were anniversary moment. When you hear what happened on this day, this is something that you always say, oh, I know where I was and what my reaction was. And I want to know from you where you were and what your reaction was next.
Good.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues every Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
By the way, it's brought to you by Design First Builders. Before you remodel, design first.
Any guesses on the anniversary today, Michael, that I was talking about? One of those stop and watch? I've got the highlight here, but I want to see if you
well,
know.
Well, I mean, for, if it's going to be relevant to me, Sylvie, it's either going to be, if it's local, it's going to be a Blackhawk or Bulls anniversary. If it's league-wide, it could be, because I've covered the NBA playoffs for since 1986. So that's 35 years. So if it's going to be sometime since 86, I'm going to remember where I was, because chances are, if it was the finals and it is early June, then I would have been there. So it's got to be one of those. Now, on PTI today, we observed the anniversary of Junior Skyhook. I know exactly where I was for that, but I don't know if that's the one you're talking about.
No, it's not the one. This is a local championship, and one of, here's the highlight, one of the most unique ways to clinch a championship.
On back to be taken by Campbell. Here's Campbell handing on to Kane again. Lots of head fakes there trying to shake Demonen. Threw one in front. Oh, my, it rattled around, and it kicked on back, and it scored! We saw no light. We saw no signal, and we're not sure if they've set a signal of a goal yet, but they are celebrating at the other end of the ice. What chaos! One of the more unusual finishes, but it's a goal. The Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks.
It ended a drought from 1961. Yeah. No one knew if it was in. Doc Emmerich recently, when he retired, he wanted to do a redo of the call, and the puck still remains missing, Michael. So where were you?
Wow.
Yeah, where were you on this day in 2010?
I was sitting in a restaurant in Boston covering the NBA Finals. It was an off night for the series. I don't know if that was. That must have been Lakers-Celtics. Anyway, I'm sitting with Magic Johnson and Charles Barkley. And Charles had said, Charles being a Philly guy, and he you know, Charles still lives in the summer, he lives in Philly, and he knows, you know, a lot of Flyers. I think I told you guys, I had dinner recently with Charles and Rick Tocchet, and he knows lots of Flyers and has been pals with a lot of guys. And Charles said, all right, let's sit and let's go to a restaurant. Magic set up the restaurant. We're going to go watch this game. If Philly wins and there's a game seven, you get the tickets. I'll supply the transportation. I know what I was hoping for. And we're watching it, and no one knows. Two of the Blackhawks championships, obviously that one and the one against Boston, there was this quality of, like, what just happened?
Right.
You know, the Blackhawks were down in the game against Boston, the clinching game, and people weren't entirely sure of the circumstance, even in Chicago. But yeah, I was in a restaurant. I wish I could remember the restaurant. I don't remember the name of it. Watching the Blackhawks win that game, and when there's finally a point and an indication from the referee that the goal was good, like, we still didn't know what to say. The celebration was so, as you just heard it, it was kind of delayed. It was kind of like, should we be doing this? And so yeah, so there was no game seven, even though I had tickets. I had tickets for game seven in both. That was game six, right?
Yeah.
So I had tickets for game seven, and I had tickets for game seven in the Boston series. And I had four tickets. Charles and I were going to both those. And because it's during the NBA Finals, this is what we either were watching in person NBA playoffs live, or we're watching the NHL Stanley Cup Final on television. Or sometimes we've gone. I mean, I've flown to see the Blackhawks on the off night, but that was so weird. It was just a weird way to experience your team winning a Stanley Cup championship.
I'll never forget. I was at West End, right, the bar in Madison, and it was just wall to wall, the celebration. But yeah, that not knowing and waiting for everything, it was one of the most unique experiences that I've ever had as a sports fan, watching a clinching moment of a championship. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's so weird that, well, the Bulls are 3-3, but of those 9 championships with those two teams, 6 of them, 2-3. No, yeah, 5 of them. 5 of them came on the road. You know, the Blackhawks only got the one against Tampa Bay at home at the United Center. I was there for that. But it would have been kind of cool to go to game 7s on the road, but I was terrified.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to be there for a loss. And the Cubs, well, how could I leave that out? So the White Sox beat Houston at home. I remember that. But the Cubs, of course, being in Cleveland. So I've been on pins and needles for those road games and a lot of them.
Speaking of the Cubs, you believing in your team right now?
I believe they're much closer to being really competitive. Like, where do you get the Yu Darvish character back? Where do you get that? Where do you get an ace?
Yeah, you would like one because their starting rotation is, as Sylvie said yesterday, there's only one guy you'd feel comfortable at all starting a playoff game, and that would be Kyle Hendricks.
That's right. And so who did they get for Yu Darvish?
Bunch of prospects.
Yeah, they got
Davies?
Yeah, Zach Davies. And then they got three 18-year-olds, 3 or 4 18-year-olds.
All right, so we got to wait to see whether this is like Doyle Alexander, you know, like the Braves trading him to who? Detroit, and getting all those guys who became the ensemble, the guts of teams that went to the postseason forever and ever. I mean, you know, you don't know that that's going to happen. But you need that ace. And I'm always scared of the Cardinals. The Brewers. It's the Cardinals have lost. They're 4 out suddenly.
I guess what they are facing right now is look, you've got a team that I believe currently is 6 games over 500. You don't have to make any diehard, or meaningful decisions at the moment. The trade deadline is still a ways away, but are you a buyer? Are you a seller? Are you standing pat? And I'm with you, Mike. They laid out the blueprint, in my opinion, when they decided to trade Darvish, and it was that we're cutting salaries and we're rebuilding.
That's exactly what they did. Otherwise, you don't trade your best pitcher.
Right.
And,
on a reasonable contract.
That's right. It wasn't like he was on, it wasn't like he was on some, $35 million a year contract.
No, I think he was making $25 a year for the next couple of years, I think.
I'm really worried about that dynamic coming back to bite them. But they're interesting. They played well. They played well against some good teams. I know that losing 3 out of 4 to San Francisco, you'd like to have seen them get a split there, but they salvaged something. But they swept the Dodgers already this season and swept the Padres. Yeah. And those are, those could be the top 2 teams in the National League. So, I'm just sort of, biding my time here. It's like, let me not make any grand decisions, even about what they should be doing at this point when when is the trade deadline?
July
31st,
yeah.
I mean, we got
time.
A long time. We got almost 2 months.
Yeah, let it play out.
Yeah, you got to let it play out and see where it is. There's no need to make any decisions now. Yeah.
Wilbon, if you could believe this as we let you go, at our golf outing on Monday, I don't play golf, but I did have a golf cart, and I hit my head on the roof, the overhang of the golf cart trying to get in.
Yep.
And I had I had 5 staples that I needed stapled into my head at the ER on Monday. Have you ever done anything as klutzy as that?
No. And the real telltale here, Sylvie, there is no reason for somebody who's as in the sports as you are. There's no possible rational explanation why you don't play golf.
I need to play again. Well, I'm a red ass, like Waddle always likes to say, and I took it too seriously.
What does that mean?
I took it too seriously, and it would frustrate me to the point where I wasn't having fun, nor were the other three people in my group.
No, nobody wants to be around that crap.
So, you know, so I just said, when the going gets tough, quit.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that force someone. He starts to hit him a little right or a little left.
I mean, but everybody's been through that, so you improve your behavior.
Not a chance.
And you go, I mean, the great thing about golf to me is you learn more about yourself than you learn about anything else. I mean, you do learn the game if you're determined to get better and learn it. But you also learn about yourself and your own behavior and what has to go and what can get better, you know? And so hitting your head on the cart, my God.
And five staples, yeah. I mean,
five staples. I mean, that's insane. No, I don't have. I've never thrown a club and it bounced back up and knocked my teeth out or anything.
Have you ever thrown a club, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I threw clubs early on.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you're playing with players who will say, good players, who will say, you know what, you don't play that much and you're not good enough to throw a club. And so basically that humiliation can ground you. And then you realize how stupid it looks when you see other people do it.
Right.
Makes you feel good, though, the release of just throwing your club and swearing, oh, it lets me go.
No, you know what makes it feel good? Makes it feel good, you know, hit the damn fairway and make the putt. I mean, that's what makes it feel good.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But if I can't do that, I want to throw a club every now and again.
Michael, great stuff. Always appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys. Sounds good.
There you go. Michael Wilbon every Wednesday at 5
Get him a nice cicada stew and send it out to him in the desert.
Yeah, the cicadas. All right, so the Bears were back on the field. They let the media in.
Some.
Except for one. They let the media in except for one guy, and you know him too. And we'll get you a Justin Fields update.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You want to talk to us, 312-332-3776. Bleck and Abdallah will be on for a short show from 6 to 6:30. We've got White Sox baseball, another good one against the Blue Jays tonight. The Bears were back on the field, and they have been for OTAs. Next week will be the mandatory minicamp. By the way, a lot of defensive players did not show up again. Tashaun Gibson did come back.
Roquan
was there again.
I believe, if I read things correctly, Andy Dalton threw three picks today.
Wow. And I'll play you a bite about Justin Fields. He had a beautiful deep ball he threw. I wanted to ask a question to Matt Nagy. I believe it was around this time yesterday when I told everyone I was going to come into work early and set up. And, you know, we recorded a new Crosstalk Unhinged. That should be on the ESPN Chicago app right now. Every week, 30 minutes. So we got here early, right, when Carmen Yurko got off the air. We recorded that at noon. And then I went in very early, and I was texting with Abdallah, making sure that my computer was right and that I knew where to sign in on the Bears Zoom, because I've watched those press conferences on Twitter without the capability of asking a question. And I'm like, is this open to everyone? Can I ask a question? I got in at 12. The press conference was scheduled at 1. I want to find out from someone in the Bears organization. The invites have been out there for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to join us on the show. Nagy has many times throughout the years. I don't believe Ryan Pace has ever been on the show.
I don't think so. Maybe one time in Bourbon A did he sit down with us?
We had Phil Emery. I don't remember Ryan Pace. I remember meeting Ryan Pace a couple times. Nice guy.
Wonderful, nice guy.
But never appearing on our show. He usually would join Cap. And he very rarely speaks outside of that little show that he does, like during the week, during football season.
They like to manage the message up there.
Right. He doesn't speak to the general media really at all during the year, before the season and after the season. I just want to know from someone, okay? Hear me out. I want to know, was Andy Dalton promised the starting job when he signed here? For opening day, not the starter going into training camp or the starter going into minicamp. I want to know if this is truly going to be a competition, or are they just going to give Andy Dalton the job on opening day because they promised him? And I think that this involves all of us. Like, we want to see when Justin Fields could win the job. Is Justin Fields able to win the job. So they have not appeared on our show. So I said, look, I'll go on the Zoom today and I will ask a question. I even cross-referenced with Weider about this. It was scheduled for 1 o'clock. I sign in at 12:50.
Under your own name. Big mistake.
A big mistake. I should have said cap and put on, you know, a bald head or something like that, or like the esteemed Don Pearson.
Yes.
And then they see me.
Dan Pompey, you could have used Danny's
name. Right. Could have used lots of people who are respected. But I signed in. The press conference starts late at about 1:15, so I'm already 25 minutes before it even starts. But once we were all let in, I raised my hand right away. Right away. And they call on, look, they call on all the usual guys. All the beat reporters. Shannon Ryan. They went to
Deion Miller, get a
Deion
question?
Deion Miller. They went to Brad Biggs. They went to Dan Weider. They went to Adam Johns. All the, so I'm like, okay, look, they'll get to guys like me late. They'll get to me late.
And when then guys like you, like guys that like, just like who are showed just up here, and don't cover the team all the time.
I'm a bandwagon guy. Yeah, yeah, I'm just coming.
Who was got his own radio show, who said the day before, I want to put him on this on the grill and I want to grill him.
It's not about grilling. I don't want to grill. I just want an answer. I want to ask a direct question that gets a direct answer.
Send him an email. Maybe you'll get a response.
What do you think the email is? What's Matt Nagy's email address? Do you think I could email Matt Nagy directly without getting in trouble from the Bears?
Yeah. He sent you a text, didn't he? Send him one back. Go back in your phone and figure out what his number was.
He called me.
Okay. Don't you have a call log?
That's like from a year ago, year and a half ago. I don't know if I saved
his
number.
Don't even dump the spam email that they send
That's
you.
That's true.
He had like 90,000 of those
things.
What am
I up to on my phone here? 212,912 email.
Throw it away. Start over.
Throw the phone
start
away.
Life
just
over.
Just
control alt delete on your site.
I know.
Jeez.
I have taken out a new email address, but I still can't pull the trigger. So anyway, I've got my hand up, and then Abdallah notices that someone lowered my hand. I didn't do anything. Like the moderator or someone in that Zoom lowered my hand. So thankfully, Abdallah, like a great teammate he is, lets me know. So I raise my hand again. Virtually, I'm raising my hand. And then, of course, they come in. Do you have the soundbite from Bears PR where they lowered the boom on me and they taunted me? They basically bat-flipped me at the end of the press conference.
All right, we got time for two more. We're going to go Mike Berman. We're going to close out with Jason Leisure.
So in case you're like some host on ESPN 1000 waiting with your hand up, which we lowered earlier, and now you have your hand up again, it's Berman and then Jason, and you got no shot.
I think they did you a favor. Instead of making you sit there with your hand up, knowing that they weren't going to go to you, they actually let you know they weren't going to go to you, and you could go about your business.
I felt like someone who got stood up at a date. I walked off too upset, and I am now going to make this my priority, where I'm going to stalk every Zoom call until they call on me.
You have to list a different name. Log in under someone else's name.
Right, we got time for two more. We're going to go Mike Berman. We're going to close out with Jason Leisure.
Stick it, Silverman. You're not asked. We don't want to answer whether or not we promised Andy Dalton a job. Fans don't need to know that.
And the concept of, I know that's a separate discussion, but the concept of guaranteeing a job who is on his third team and is a bridge guy based on the contract that he signed, just is, how do you do business that way? And again, I don't know that that's the case because you weren't able to ask the question, they weren't able to answer it. Why would you guarantee a starting job?
That's my point. That's why I'm so outraged by this.
I mean, like, if they did, I wouldn't go about. Listen, if you're Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, you're starting week one. I can definitively say that on June 9th right now.
And the funny part is they're not.
Well, they tell him that. Yeah, they told him that. You'll start. No. You got to come back. You can't be in, you know, Hawaii partying
with
people.
Yeah, you got to play for us.
You got to be there.
Play for us. You're going to start.
There, you'll be there. You'll be our starter week one.
So my next chance, Abdallah, is next week, right? There are mandatory mini camps going on.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So he speaks three times. Don't take me Tuesday, I'm checking in on
call the principal.
They probably think the joke's on me.
He already tried to do that.
Yeah. I put out a text. I'm like, "Whoa, dude, I went out of my way today. I scheduled around this."
Well, you can. It's during the show on Tuesday and Wednesday, so
we'll put you in the other room.
We'll sequester you to the other room. Waddle in the two, and what do you call us? Chip
Boys.
And dip.
Yeah.
Chip and Dale. We'll handle the show.
Chip and Dale.
And we'll check in with you. We'll give you rations if you need it while you're in there waiting for Nagy to speak because he'll be late as usual. And then once you, if you don't get to ask your question on Tuesday, we'll do it again Wednesday. But I'll tell you this: on Thursday, he speaks at 12:30, so you're gonna have to get here early.
Okay. Yeah. Well, unless they call on me.
Well, they probably won't.
No, they're not going to call on you. Not unless you change your name.
Do you think I should make a? Can you put up a fake name? I mean, you have. No. They see who it is.
No, because you're less the
it's
less
your Zoom login. Yeah, so you can change it to whatever you want.
Also, the less you're in there, the less likely they are to call on you. Like if you make up a name from a. From the, you the let's say the Lyle Times Picayune, and
the Lyle. How did you go Times local and then you went Picayune?
Because you have to.
Like
a local
you're
paper
in New Orleans.
Always has to end with Picayune. A good newspaper always ends with Picayune. The only newspapers I subscribe to and give my money to end with Picayune, and then they're not going to let you in because it's not Saints Week, so it's not going to work.
That's a good point.
All right, I'm going to try next Tuesday. And we'll see. By the way, Justin Fields, 7-on-7, threw a nice deep ball today.
Yes!
All we can do is report on what's going on now. And you said that Dalton hit
Andy
three.
Andy threw three picks.
It's another promise he made the Bears. He said,
throw three
when
picks.
You promise me that I'm going to be the starter, I promise to throw three picks.
Yes. There's no promises with guys that you're signing like that.
None! Unless you sign Tom Brady.
Right. There's no, I mean, I, like this whole concept that's of a promise is weird.
That's what I want to know. Here's your opportunity, Bears, to say those reports out there are BS. You think we're going to promise a guy he's starting? No. Or are they scared to say, you
what
know
what?
What
are you scared of?
We were worried that we were going to lose Andy on that the $10 million was enough and he would play for Vic Fangio and we had to clinch it with a promise.
How about this? How about you actually, Justin Fields shows you that he's the best quarterback in camp. He starts, Foles is your backup. You don't trade Foles, you trade Andy Dalton.
There you go.
Yeah.
All this happened while I was preparing for the show with my computer screen with my hand up in the IDOT bullpen.
Yeah.
And I tweeted the Bears, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw it. I said, hey, at Chicago Bears, and I tweeted them the emoji of
that's
going
to help your
of the
chances
man with a hand
next week.
Up.
Yeah, that's going to help your chances. Yeah.
What did you get anything back?
Nothing. No.
Yeah, of course.
They left you on read?
I texted one of my – I don't think he's got the
– I don't think he likes you.
The read – and he probably doesn't.
Listen, next week, you think your chances are now better based on your social media behavior?
We'll see. Next Tuesday is the next chance for my intrepid reporting.
Good luck.
332-3776. IDOT reminds you to start seeing motorcycles. You know what? This helped me today, guys. There were two motorcycles on the Kennedy today, and I always hear the commercials from IDOT. Look left, look right, look left again. And I made sure that I saw the motorcycles. Motorcycle safety is everyone's responsibility. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. Jeff Garland has a message to Jake Arrieta. And are we willing to gamble on a pitcher's performance going downhill because he possibly isn't cheating anymore? Uh-oh. That's coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by friends and partners of the Home Loan Expert. It's no secret. The housing market is red hot. Get a leg up on the competition and get pre-approved now. Ryan Kelly could help you out at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Gerrit Cole, after speaking yesterday and sort of giving you not really a denial about using sticky stuff.
That was one of the weirdest answers I've ever heard.
Yeah. The Yankees are at the Twins tonight, and the Yankees are a big favorite. The Twins are not good. So you can get the Twins at plus 165 tonight if you so choose with Gerrit Cole coming off not a good performance, and a lot of people saying, hey, some of these guys who may be cheating with the spin rate, may not be cheating anymore. May not be as good.
Well, weren't there statistical facts to prove that his stuff was different last start out where he lost, gave him five runs?
You can tell the spin rate.
Right.
And Mad Dog was on Greeny today talking about there are all these analytics that if you the RPMs reach this number, players hit 325 off of that. If the spin rate increases to so and so, their average dips to 260. If it goes even higher, the average is like 215. So, like, you see it. It's there. They can measure all of this based on the spin rate and how you increase the spin rate now with the sticky stuff. Josh Donaldson said he held court before this game. Remember, he's got the binder. He said he felt responsible to talk after Mike Schilt's postgame press conference here in Chicago on 526. His message, nobody's standing up for the hitters. So this thing's going to continue. Meantime, we had Jeff Garland on the show. Jeff Garland told us about Curb Your Enthusiasm. His guess is coming back in the fall. He thinks that they're open to doing another season after this season comes out. But he told us the closer we get to its debut, the more he can tell us about the year.
Don't stop now, fellas.
And they're sort of sworn to secrecy. But he also talks sports with us. And so he opened up the can of worms that he's, even though the Cubs are winning, he's mad at the Cubs because they haven't reached the 85% threshold of vaccines, which means they still have to live like the pandemic's going on. They have to be masked. They can't really go out and socialize. A lot of things happen. A lot of people believe you get a competitive advantage.
I think that, yes, I agree with that concept.
After you reach 85%. Yes. And so Jake Arrieta, who pitched today, is one of the more outspoken guys of not wanting the vaccine. So I said to Jeff Garland, I go, look, one of your favorite guys, I'm sure, through the years is Jake Arrieta, and you're very upset about the Cubs not getting vaccinated. What would you say to Jake here? What would you say to Jake Arrieta, who I'm sure you love, and Jake is very vocal about not getting
it? I have great respect, but for Jake, if I may. Now, I don't know the man. I've never met the man, but I know the way he is politically, and this is a political issue for him, as far as I know. Like, my guess. It's a guess, because I don't want to say. And I say, this has nothing to do with politics. And all those guys who say, all those Republican people who say, hey, don't get the vax or whatever, they're all vax. They're all full of crap. They are. They just are doing what they're what they think everyone wants them to do. It really is. It's a human being's responsibility. That's what I have to say. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care where your politics lie. That's your business. I don't discuss politics. I don't discuss religion. But this is about the human race. This is about the human condition, that we can function together in a packed Wrigley Field.
Tommy Tuchel.
Okay. Hold on, one more thing.
Of course.
But the basic premise here is we want the Cubs to win the World Series. And you know what? You don't get to 85%. I will wager everything I've got. No, on the World Series. If you're playing somebody who doesn't have to worry about that, and it's a whole different world, we're playing the Braves, and let's say the National League Championship, we're losing.
You think it's a competitive advantage? You think it's a competitive advantage?
Unequivocally. Let me tell you something. As somebody who looks for advantages in what I do, every little nuance is a competitive advantage. Every single little thing helps you. So that's my thing. Forget even the politics of it. Come on, man. Don't you want to win?
So that's
win.
People in the Twitch chat have been debating this. People on Twitter. There's a very, very polarizing issue. I've sort of stayed. I am very pro-vaccine. I got the vaccine as soon as I could.
I got both my shots. I've got my vaccine card. I want to have my card with me. I have a picture of my vaccine.
I don't want to fight with anybody anymore, though. I would suggest get vaccinated. But
I do what my doctors tell me to do.
That exactly. Follow the medicine. Yeah. Follow the science. So if you want that Jeff Garland interview, the entire interview is available on the ESPN Chicago app. Also, a brand new Crosstalk Unhinged has dropped today.
It has.
We got in earlier in the week with Carmen and Yurko. So get that on the ESPN Chicago app and go to the Waddle and Sylvie page and check out Uncensored, Uncut, Crosstalk Unhinged, as Crosstalk is back.
It's a good
time. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And people continue to tweet us that they do love it. So thank you to Jeff Garland, Dana White, Michael Wilbon. We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. Thank you for their great help today. And then we've got Sox Baseball coming up at 6:30. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.